I have to repeat what I said in the intro, right? So this is what we might consider a special edition of Let the Bible Speak.faith. And as folks are aware, various states and government agencies are concerned about folks gathering, particularly with concerns about folks that are more vulnerable health-wise to the current situation with the virus that's spreading. And so under direction of the governor, a lot of churches here in Kentucky have chosen to cancel services this week at least. And that's again to protect folks and to kind of minimize spread. And certainly a lot of our congregations do have older folks, and a lot of us are actually deeply concerned about those things. So we would very much want to be with the Lord's people this morning on the Lord's Day, remembering God's word, remembering our Creator, putting our faith in Him, studying Jesus, and remembering His death, burial, and resurrection as we gather together in the Lord's Supper. So we all definitely miss being with the Lord's people at this time. But given that we have some tools available that we can still at least join together, open God's word, and kind of encourage one another. Gives Charlie and I an opportunity to do a show this morning. Of course, it's an unusual time. Normally, we would be at the Lord's, we'd be with the Lord's people. But for folks that may be home, they are welcome to join. And folks that are fortunate enough to worship with the Lord's body this morning, amen. And you can catch our show later because it'll be recorded. So anyway, but it's the Lord's Day. We still want to take some time to look at God's word and find some encouragement. And as always, even in the darkest times, God's word always offers us some encouragement. And of course, Charlie Blevins is the preacher at the Lebanon Church of Christ. And he's going to be leading our discussion this morning. And Charlie, what are we going to be studying this morning?
We're going to talk about I am. Jesus identified himself, I am, and the power in those words and what happened on this particular occasion. We'll see, it gives us insight, reminder of who he is, the power of God, how people react to him, why he is here, and what's about to happen to him. And earlier in this chapter 18 of John, that's where we're going to start. It says that Jesus, there in verse 4, chapter 18 of John, and verse 4. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" Now I just want to stop there for a moment and reflect on everything that Jesus knew when we think about the story of all that happened to him. And then we can understand the prayer where he sweated his blood. We can understand his soul being disturbed, his prayer to the Father, his teaching of his disciples who had been with him for so long now in his earthly ministry. Really, his earthly ministry is culminating, is coming to an end. He's about to be arrested. And in chapter 16, verse 29 and 30, his disciples say to him, "Lo, now you're speaking plainly and are not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God." So his instruction of the disciples, we all get insight from the words that are written. We paint pictures with those words in our mind of what's going on, what he did, who Jesus is. And then we come to this in chapter 18. And I will read verse 1 through 3. Let me look at that. "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of Kidron, where there was a garden in which he entered with his disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. Judas then, having received the Roman cohort, and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Certainly, those that were with Jesus. It was a shock into their day, a shock into their morning. As I picture this, it's still dark, dawning. It's dark. And this happens with all these Romans and the officials from the high priests and some of the Pharisees coming to arrest Jesus. How startling and how troubling it must be. Really, as we look at how they must be troubled, we want to look at this next verse, verse 5. And you may have some comments about verse 5. I'll go ahead and read it. They answered him, Jesus the Nazarene. And he said to them, I am. And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. And then in verse 6, so when he said to them, I am, they drew back and fell to the ground. Mm-hmm. Now in that, I see lots of power. I see God. And I know that they could not. I've heard scholars of the scriptures, so to speak, try to explain that away. That they were startled, yeah. They just doubled back, the domino effect and things like that. But I don't think we see that in this passage at all. It's a demonstration of who Jesus Christ the Lord is.
Yeah. Okay.
You may have some remark you'd like to say about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, some things you read and you just kind of go, boom, right? It's just, it's kind of a wow moment. I think it's pretty clear, and just to reference the verses, because we were having, you're probably alluding, we were having some conversations about this. In the New American Standard Translation, if you read it, it says, I am he, and he is added. And that might be questionable, because he is responding and affirming he's the person they're looking for. But the context suggests this is just more than raising one's hand and saying, okay, yeah, I'm here. Because when he says, I am, and they're blown back and like, what just happened? You almost get the impression, like for an instant, he could not hold back his divinity, right? The veil that didn't let us see his divinity for what it was just cracked instantaneously, and there was a, I am, and boom, yeah. and it like shocked them, and they had to, they kind of had to reset a little bit. Now, that's some speculation, but that's what the context is essentially saying. Something happened that made them step back, and it wasn't. It's interesting that the translations read just a little differently. Let's see, how the New American Standard read it. Yeah, they drew back and fell to the ground. Now, that's not just a, wow, this guy speaks really well. Something, I think that really tells us something distinct happened there. And when we were first talking about these, looking at these verses in the context of where we are now, at any point in our life, we need to be turning to Jesus, right? And so at the darkest moment of Jesus' life, is that a good time for us to look at Jesus? Look at how he handled diversity or our struggles, I should say. Adversity, that's the word I'm looking for.
Always.
It's always the right answer, right?
It's a good time to turn to Jesus, always. I'm amazed at the people's reaction, the soldiers and the servants of the chief priests and the Pharisees. They all fell down. My take on it is not of their own accord, and yet they got back up and proceeded with their mission.
Yeah,
I don't know that I would have been so quick to do that, but so that scriptures couldn't be fulfilled. they continued on with what they had come to do, mm-hmm. And so the story continues on. Then that verse 7, I'll read a few more verses here. Therefore, he again asked them, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus the Nazarene. And Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these go their way to fulfill the word which he spoke. Of those whom you have given me, I lost no one. Now, Simon Peter, and I want to include Peter in this because we're talking about all of us as human beings, our reactions to things that go on in life. And we think we have learned and know what we've been taught, everything we need to know. And sometimes we have not. So Simon Peter, then having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. And the slave's name was Malchus. And so Jesus said to Peter, put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? So Peter still had not self-control over his impulses, and we can understand that impulse. We're all human. We can understand how much he loved the Lord and what how he wanted to protect the Lord. But we understand too, reading this story now, that was not the way to do it. And so Jesus asked him to put the sword up. And so we see the power of Jesus, who he was, the divinity, his righteousness. He's still teaching even in his arrest. He is somebody we want to look to. He is God. He's identified himself. That's why the disciples said, "You speak to us plainly now." And they had learned a lot, but they have so much more to learn. I like what Paul has to say to us. If I can depart from John now and go into Philippians chapter 4. And Paul is speaking to us there. He'd just been talking to us about the goal in life, what our goal should be to reach heaven. And he explains how he counts everything here on the earth as lost to himself, as a rubbish, and as should we too. And he presses toward the mark. He's given good instruction. But then here in chapter 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." And you just ask the question, is that the time to turn to Jesus? And in one of his darkest hours there as they were arresting him? Yes, of course, any time, as you have said, is a time to rejoice in the Lord. Let your gentle spirit, and talking about Peter drawing the sword, Jesus is still instructing us in that he is the word. Everywhere we look, he's let your gentle spirit, talking to the Christian, Joe, let your gentle spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near. You know, Theron, I've struggled with that at times too, letting a gentle spirit show through. It's something we have to learn. It's something we have to attain. It's not always in our nature to control ourselves, to be gentle with people. And like Peter was there when he drew his sword. And he also, during this time right now where some churches are still meeting on the Lord's Day, other out of concerns and not wanting anyone, especially the elderly or others susceptible to catch a disease, there's some worry. And whether we're attending this morning or not, we still love the Lord and praise his name, are thankful for the sacrifice of his son, and we want to listen to his advice here in verse 6, chapter 4, Philippians. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I would encourage people to pray more and to draw closer to God and to be as close to him as you possibly can. And as we listen to Paul's words here in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding." You know, the peace we get from Jesus Christ surpasses anything we can understand. If we'll just submit to him, draw close to him, and receive that peace. The world is not conducive to putting that peace into men's heart, but the Lord Jesus Christ is. And so, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I think that's a wonderful passage there. And that's why I want to read it and include it in this after we've noticed the power of Christ Jesus, identifying who he is and all of that. We have encouragement to turn to him, be close to him, trust in him. And I want to look in James now. There's a couple of passages in James that I want to look at. James chapter 1. And beginning in verse 2. And he says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." I kind of thought that would be appropriate today. A lot of people are worried about what's going on. Some are taking it very seriously and some are not. But about all people have some kind of concern about that. So James is writing here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." Now, I don't see people going around talking about the joy they're feeling right now as Christians as this trial is going on. I know they are. I know we as Christians, I am, you are, and many are, we don't hear that voiced as we should. Because verse 2, "knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." It gives us strength to endure through the next hard thing, through the next difficulty, through the next resistance.
Right. Exactly.
So strength during troubling times we can get from the Lord Jesus Christ. And did you have a comment there, or I'll finish reading this passage in chapter 1, James?
Well, there's so many things we can say, but, you know, talking about endurance, being able to endure the challenges that we face on this side of eternity. But one thing that, and I think some people have adequately pointed this out, that you're never promised a tomorrow, whether we're in a worldwide pandemic or not in a worldwide pandemic. There's never a promise of tomorrow, but the one thing it does do is there are some people that say, that suggest that the only way the pandemic finishes is it essentially has to get through the population. And then at that point, enough people have caught it that it stops spreading, right? But it's an uneasy feeling to stop and go, wow, there's a really good chance that I'm just going to have to catch it at some point. And there's a non-zero probability I won't make it. Now, the odds definitely depend on your circumstances, but it's clear there's no way to know till it happens, right? And it's a weird feeling going, I'm kind of waiting around to get sick to see if I'll live through it. And it's an uncomfortable feeling, but the reality is it's just one of those moments that reminds us that, you know, we have to pass from this life so that what's made in us that's eternal can be free to move on to be with the Lord.
Yes.
And it does make us think about immortality, but when we think about immortality, that's when we reflect on the promises of, that's what it's all about anyway. It's never been about this life. There's a lot of blessings being a Christian in this life, and people should see that in our lives. But the promise is on the other side. And when we think about immortality, it reminds us of, yeah, that's what it's all about. I mean, Paul talks about, look, if Jesus wasn't brought up from the dead, we won't be brought up from the dead. And what's the point? But that is the whole point. The point is to be with Jesus, to be with the Father in heaven, to be with God in an eternity.
Yeah, the point is, and this is what James is kind of talking about here too, about in being strong in endurance. In verse 4, he says, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But we as Christians know, we've been told, by God's word, is appointed once for man to die and then come to judgment. We know that we're going to die, and that should be no surprise. Exactly. Something is going to kill us.
Exactly.
And there have been other pandemics, and so we survived. The majority of people survived. It's to be taken seriously. Preparations are to be made, but we should not be concerned and overly anxious. James continues, but he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from God, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So I think it's times like this cause us to think about how we're reacting, how close we are to Jesus, how much we trust him, and to stabilize ourselves in the rock that is Jesus Christ. And to know that we're going to die, but we trust in him that when we die as a faithful Christian, the angels will escort us into Abraham's bosom.
Yeah.
And we'll be in the presence of God. We should not be overly anxious about these things.
Yeah.
And I just love how it's addressed in the Bible. You may have some thoughts on this. I don't know if you do. If you do, make them, please.
Yeah, no, I think you did a great job, honestly. You covered that really well.
Yeah, I'm not through with James yet. If we're going to James chapter 5.
Okay, absolutely. I've got it all queued up so everybody can follow along too. Okay. So.
Yeah, I don't see what you're queuing up. I'm just reading out of my Bible.
Right, you're fine.
But
you might see it.
Okay.
That's right. You never did get it up. Never mind. Yeah, we'll get that next
time. And it's got on me now, so I'm not worried about that. We're doing fine.
We're doing good.
So in James chapter 5, in verse 15, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. We see the power of Jesus Christ. That's there where we begin to read in John as his ministry on earth is coming to an end. You know, his disciples witnessed the power of God through Jesus Christ, the Lord, in his healing of the sick, the curing of the lame and the blind, and the raising of the dead. And his power of God is in whom we trust. We trust God for everything, and we believe in prayer, and sincere prayer, fervent prayer. And then verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another. Can I stop right there a minute and say that I don't believe that we as brethren do that, or in my experience, do that as often as we should. Mm-hmm. can trust in one another enough that we can tell each other our sins and our weaknesses and pray together about that. It is done, but I see that it's not done, in my opinion, enough. So anyway, therefore, confess your sins to one another. And pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish very much. And that to me is courage. That's why that we want people praying for us, not just we praying for ourselves, but we want to pray for others. And we want others praying for us because God tells us that accomplishes much. People are healed through prayer and devotion to God and trusting in Him and believing in Him and being stable, not doubting, knowing that our prayer will be answered. And James gives us so much good advice about that in his book here. He just gives us a lot of advice and reminds us of a lot of things we need to know and be thinking about all the time. In chapter 2, verse 18, I'm sorry, verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well, the demons also believe and shudder. Our trust in God never falter and never fail. Even the devils believe in God and know He's real, and they shudder at the mention of His name. So that should encourage us to trust in Him all the more. And James even says to submit to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So we have a lot of passages. There's so many more that we could go to, that we could be strengthened, we could be comforted, we can be assured in this hard time that people are concerned about, and any other time that concerns us and troubles us, no matter what we're going through, God is there for us. So we should, verse 10, chapter 3 of James, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. Sometimes we feel like we just don't amount to much, maybe. I've known people express to me, we don't amount to much, but we have to remember that God thinks so much of us that He gave His Son to die on that cross. And that He went to that cross knowing everything that was going to befall Him. A demonstration of His power there in John 18 as they fell back. They had the weapons, they had the torches, they had the numbers. But the power of Jesus Christ, Son of Almighty God, our Redeemer.
The I Am.
And they fell back to the ground. We should not have any fear.
Agreed.
That's all I want to say. Encourage us in the Lord.
We certainly have a solid rock to stand on. And again, it's not about this side of eternity. It's about the other, right? And no matter what, whether we face good times or bad times, in fact, just like the people that in Jeremiah's time that he spoke of, that, you know, they had the pretty earrings and the pretty nose rings, and they had the jingling bells and the pretty dresses, and the stock market was up. And everything looked great. So why do I have to worry about calamity, right? I'm just going to live for today and party. When things are good, we tend to forget about things that are the most important, the things that are the most worth protecting and valuing and cherishing.
Yes, sir. You're right. And the world usually gets that wrong, too. You know, a lot of people that are doomsday predictors and pick a date for when the world will end. They notice the bad things that are happening in the earth and call them signs and things like that. When Jesus plainly says His second coming will be as a thief in the night, or when they say peace and safety, then destruction will come suddenly upon them or upon them suddenly. And so our confidence should be in the Lord. We should be ready in His ministry. We should have oil for our lamps. We should be dressed in His righteousness, have our wedding garments on, and be ready, because we know something is going to take us out of this world.
We
look forward to that if we're a faithful child of God, because it only means we're going to be with God. And so I would encourage people to think along those lines and let the scripture strengthen them, and don't listen to the world's voice, because it's not a good voice to listen to. It's right, contrary right, to right, the word
right,
of God.
Right, right. Right. Yeah. You know, one thing, it kind of as we're closing up here, Charlie, and I like your thoughts on this too, because this is kind of a delicate topic, but
yes.
It's one I think maybe thinking of topics we should think more about as we maybe consider our mortality a little bit. If you're a person who has been studying God's word, you've been looking at what it says, and you come to realize, you know what? God has set forth a plan for his creation, his children, to be restored to him. And you look at God's word, you realize, man, you know, I confess Jesus. I know who he is. But I want to do those things that put me in his body, put me in amongst the saved. And that includes things like baptism. If you're thinking about that, again, I feel like I almost have to say this because I almost can't sleep if I don't, right? We're just in a really unusual time now. And I don't want to sound alarmist because I'm not trying to be. But we may have a time where you may decide you want to be baptized and we can't get you there because the circumstances are the sheriff's on the street. You can't go anywhere. Now, again, I'm not trying to be alarmist, but it's actually a plausible scenario that could happen. So what I'm not trying to scare anybody, but what I am trying to suggest is if you've been thinking about being baptized, you might really want to think hard, because now the window's open. If you may be just stuck in an area where you're in a hard quarantine, you know, they may not be able to baptize you, even though that's what you want to do. So I'm just encouraging people. I'm using that as a specific example of, hey, we need to focus on, are we prepared? Always we need to be. But again, this is just a way to remind us of, are there things we need to be doing? Let's be doing them, you know, because you're never guaranteed it tomorrow. So focus on what you can get done today. Again, I don't want to scare anybody. That's not the point. But then part of me feels like I need to say something. What are your thoughts, Charlie? Was that a little bit too crazy alarmist, or what do you think? I mean, again, we just need to think about it.
Alarmist. Yeah, it's valid and timely information that God gives us. It's always a dangerous time when we're in the fleshly body on this earth, because we face death every day. It can happen in any number of ways.
Exactly. Why God, right?
Has made a way through his son that we can live forever. We began one time to do a show on created in immortality.
Yeah.
And God
sent his son
so that we continue in immortality. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I encourage people when they're going through troubled times to just realize that time, their life is dissipating away. Every moment that passes by, it's a moment that we'll get back. And now is the time to do what Peter told them to do in Acts chapter 2. You know, they were alarmed when they heard the sermon they preached on the day of Pentecost. And it says in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, "And when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?'"
I encourage people today.
Yeah, ask, what shall we do? What shall I do? And Peter gives that answer. I'll read it. And it said, "Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit,' which is eternal life." And everybody ought to be thinking, what must I do in order to live forever, to be in heaven with God, to have my sins forgiven? It's always timely to ask that question and bring those points up, because life is dissipating away.
Yep.
Our life is like a blink of an eye when you consider eternity.
Yep.
And so we want to take the appropriate actions now. We want to have the desire to serve God now. We may not get that chance again. You mentioned that. Times are so difficult at times, and death can come in any way, and even in normal times people die. And so we should have on our mind, and I encourage people, because we love them, because we're Christian, because God loves us, do what God asks you to do. He only wants to save you and have you in heaven with Him for an eternity.
Right.
We were created that way, and we threw it away because we could not obey the Lord God. Yeah. He gave us a way to get that back.
For those of us who, you know that we stand, on the right side of history, as it were, and by saying that, I mean we're on the right side of God's word, right?
We
in this modern day, you may have people you almost consider friends because you've communicated with them and shared things remotely with the modern technology we have, but you've never met them in person. And I've communicated with people and said, you know, I don't know if I'll ever get to see you. I don't know if I'll be in your part of the world to meet you in person on this side of eternity. But if not, I'm looking forward to meeting you on the other side of eternity. And that's the kind of hope we have.
Yes, it is. And that's a great hope, or a wonderful hope. It gives us strength and the peace that was mentioned in the scriptures we read, the peace that comes from Jesus Christ, only that hope and strength we have in the blessed assurance that Christ gives us through His death, burial, and resurrection. He's the only name given under heaven by which men must be saved. Don't resist Him.
Oh, amen. Yeah, agreed. Yeah. And any more thoughts before we try to close up, you think?
I just want to say I'm happy to be with everybody that's watching, and to be with you today on this Lord's Day. I always feel that I've done less than I should if I'm not talking about the Lord's Word and praying to Him. And we're not at assembly this morning, but we are in His Word, amen. His life-giving Word. And I appreciate this opportunity and so happy to be with you today.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm... Again, we're all disappointed that you didn't get to be with the Lord's people, but I'm glad we had this opportunity this morning to still open up God's word and encourage one another. And yes. I like what Scott says as he closes his program. He likes to say, you know, hope we've done some good and no harm this morning. Hope we've encouraged folks.
Yeah.
And as always, we want to let the Bible speak.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. Y'all take care. This will be uploaded to the website. It'll be available, both the high def video and the audio will both be up on the website, and we look forward to, if not seeing you on this side of eternity,
on the other side.
All right, take care, folks.
Thank you. Bye.